Today's daf was Pesachim daf Yeralef. In the last daf, the Gemara said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a person can't do B'dikas Chametz once Chametz becomes Aser, because we're afraid that while he's doing B'dikas Chametz, he's going to come to eat from the Chametz. So the Gemara asks, "So mi gazer Rabbi Yehuda dil masi lemechel minei?" Is Rabbi Yehuda really worried that anytime you handle something that you're not allowed to eat, that you might come to eat it? How come Rabbi Yehuda then doesn't have a problem with making flour and toasted grain available right after the Korban Omer, even though that does necessarily mean that they're going to have to harvest and grind and sift all that grain before the Korban Omer is brought? Apparently, they're going to be handling it before it's mutter to eat. So the Gemara offers three answers. First, the Rava answers that each of these malachos are done with a shinoi of some sort when it comes to the Korban Omer, and therefore there's no concern that he's going to come to eat it. Second, Abaye answers, Chadosh badil minei, chametz lo badil minei. And that's the answer the Gemara is going to focus on for the majority of the daf, which is that people are used to keeping away from Chadosh, so they're not going to come to eat Chadosh. Chametz is 1 week out of the whole year, people aren't so used to keeping away from it, so we're more concerned that someone's going to come to eat it. And Rav Ashi gives an answer that Rav Yehuda only was matir handling toasted grain and flour because they're not edible. But the Gemara says, Hadar Rav Ashi badusahi. That's ridiculous. That can't be correct, because in order for toasted grain to become over-toasted and inedible, it first needs to be untoasted and still edible. So there's got to be some point where it's still edible. So the Gemara goes back to Abaye's answer, the second approach, the distinction between things that people are used to staying away from and things that people are not used to staying away from, and asks two kashas in it. First of all, does Rabbi Yehuda really not allow handling things that people don't normally keep away from? We find that he allows handling oil right next to a ner on Shabbos, even though people aren't used to keeping away from oil, so it seems to go against this rule. So Gemara says, no, it doesn't go against the rule. Over there, there's another factor. Shabbos is so strict, people are going to keep away from it because of the Chumrah de Shabbos. So Gemara says, yeah, but even within Hilcha Shabbos, Verami de Shabbos HaShabbos, there's a contradiction. When it comes to a bucket whose string has snapped, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't even allow tying a bow, presumably because even in Hilcha Shabbos issues, he's concerned that you're going to come to tie a real knot. So the Gemara says, no, the reason Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow tying a bow is not because he's concerned you're going to tie a real knot, it's because he holds that a bow is a real knot. Rabbi Yehuda holds that that's considered kosher in regards to Hilcha Shabbos. The second kasha the Gemara asks on this chilik about Badul Minei is, V'kal Hecha de Badul Minei lo gazer Rabbi Yehuda? How could you say Rabbi Yehuda doesn't make zeros in cases that we're used to keeping away from the item, if we know that Rabbi Yehuda does not allow doing bloodletting on a bechar, lest you come to make a mum in the bechar, even though we're used to keeping away from the bechar, so it is something that's badal minei. So Gemara says that no, since the adam baal al mamono, people are generally very overprotective of their possessions, we're very concerned that in an effort to make sure his animal doesn't die, the kohen might do bloodletting on a spot of the animal that will make a mum. So that's why it's important to be extra strict over there. So Gemara says, yeah, but if you hold that people are overprotective of their money and therefore more likely to violate Isurim, why does Rabbi Yehuda allow combing an animal on Yontif with a wide-toothed comb that doesn't make a wound on the animal? Shouldn't you be worried you can use the narrow-toothed comb that does make a wound on the animal, because Adam Baal on Lamono? So the Gemara answers, there are two different kinds of Baal on Lamono. People are worried that the animal might die, because then you're going to just lose the animal. You're not so worried if the animal is going to be annoyed or in a little bit of pain, because that doesn't cost you any money. So when it comes to combing the animal, it's just going to annoy the animal, but it's not going to cost the person any money, so we don't assume Adam Baal al Mamono. The Mishnah then quotes three shitos about when Chametz becomes Aser Ner of Pesach. Everybody agrees Chametz has to be burned only at the beginning of the sixth hour. The question is when it becomes Aser to eat. Rav Meir holds Ochlim Kol Chamesh, you could eat through the fifth hour. Rav Yehuda says Ochlim Kol Arba, Tolim Kol Chamesh, you could eat through the fourth hour. In the fifth hour, you don't have to burn it yet, but there's no eating it yet either. And they would have symbols of the Lachme Toda that they would leave on the Itztava around the Harabayas to tell people when each Zman had arrived, when the fourth hour was over, when the fifth hour was over. Rav Gamliel says, no, Chulin Echolim Kol Arba, Truma Kol Chamesh, that it depends what kind of Chametz. Regular Chametz you could eat for 4 hours, but Truma, because we're very protective of Truma, there's an Isser to be Ma'abe Truma, so Truma we give an extra hour, you could eat through the fifth hour. And the Gemara compares our Mishnah with a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, which says that if two Edom contradict each other about the timing of an event that they witnessed, by 2 hours Rabbi Yehuda accepts the Eidos, and Rav Meir says no, if they're 2 hours off, we have to reject the Eidos. Sabai and Rava disagree as to what the logic of each side of the machlokas is. In today's daf, we learned that Abaye's opinion, tomorrow's daf, we get to Rava's opinion. Abaye basically says, we didn't get to it in this morning's shir, but he basically says that a mayor holds, ein adam toa velo klum. People don't make the mistake of the time of day at all, and a 1 hour discrepancy can be explained, not because people made a mistake, but simply by an event that happened at the very end of 1 hour, which was the very beginning of the next hour. So they're talking about the same exact time, they just call it a different time. They call it a different words. They're off by 1 hour in the way they describe it, but not in what they actually witnessed. But Rabbi Yehuda thinks, Adam Toa Bechati Shah. People make a mistake about the time by half an hour. So the discrepancy in testimony of up to 2 hours can be simply explained as something that happened in the middle of, let's say, the fourth hour of the day. So one of them will describe it making a half hour of a mistake in one direction as the third hour. The other one making a half hour of a mistake in the other direction will describe it as the fifth hour. An alternate version of Abaye says that according to a mayor, people will make very minor mistakes, while according to Rabbi Yehuda, people will make mistakes of an hour plus a little bit, but then Be'ez Hashem tomorrow we'll get to Rava's Shita.